They'll all be on vacation next week. I will be back in here. I know Schultzy's going to be in helping out some. Everybody's pitching in next week. They need some vacation as well. But we'll be here most of the week having a good time. Getting you ready for the All-Star Game, Summer League, everything that's coming up in the next few weeks before we finally get to, I mean, we're counting it down. We're less than 3 weeks from the Big Ten football media days. I think SEC's the week before.
Getting close.
The ACC's in there. So the football is coming very soon. We know how much everybody is yearning for it.
What are we, like 7 weeks away from week zero at this point, I think?
August 23rd.
So like, possibly six, if my math is correct.
Yeah, zero week. So Kansas State, Iowa State at 9 a.m. on Saturday, August 23rd from Dublin, Ireland is, I believe, the first official Division I college football game.
I had a buddy that was just there.
Of the season.
Doing some prep for said event coming.
There you
August.
Go.
Yeah,
so we'll be starting that. It'll be duck season here on the Fan before you know it. However, we'll get into the NBA free agency off-season maneuvering, sign and trade deals, all of that stuff, buyouts, waves going on. Hard to know what – I think the biggest news locally the last couple of days was the fact that Portland just finally bought themselves out of the DeAndre Ayton contract. In no shocking development, he was able to, at a bargain basement price, find a new home with the Los Angeles Lakers, signing a two-year deal to join LeBron and Luka as the Lakers whiffed when a free agent negotiating period started. They couldn't keep Dorian Finney-Smith. They couldn't get another guy to come in to them. So DeAndre Ayton slots right into the starting center slot for the Lakers, looking at 25-26. And I'm curious, from Blazer fan standpoint, what's worse? Seeing DeAndre Ayton slide into that and possibly help take the Lakers or ride the coattails of the Lakers on a run, even if he's not playing that bad? Or would it hurt worse if he goes there and balls out?
I mean, does it matter? I don't think
the
Lakers winning a championship, if they did, would
Blazer
have any...
fans are petty.
Blazers fans are petty, but love y'all. Sometimes Blazers fans let their emotions rule and have been telling me for years how good the Luke Babbitts of the world are going to be. Like, if I'm being honest, I don't really trust diehard, and I'm a diehard Blazers fan, but diehard, super rose-colored glasses Blazers fan, I don't trust their barometer. DeAndre Ayton is not going to be the piece that takes the Lakers over the top. The fact that LeBron is even whispering that he wants a trade away from one of the best players in the NBA and Luka Doncic is crazy. Like, yes, they needed some ancillary pieces, but dude, you've got a situation there, and essentially you're forced into, because of the high salaries on your cap already, you've got to pay these not great, but like second and third tier guys to come in. They're trading Jackson Hayes, essentially, after the Anthony Davis trade, for DeAndre Ayton. And to the point of maybe some success in LA, I think Ayton's the only guy since Dwight Howard to average 10 points and 10 rebounds in his first few years of his career.
Yeah.
But he's also had attitude problems. And Portland is a place, because there's been so many questions about the vibe, about where this team's going, because of the problems with Chauncey, Portland's a place where he could do that. How long do you think he's going to last in Los Angeles if he comes in and pitches? J.J. Redick's going to tell him to get the hell out.
Oh, yeah. Well, Redick, he couldn't play Jackson Hayes.
Exactly.
Before.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have the fundamental skills or something that J.J. Redick needs.
I just think it's going to be funny. I can't wait for impending just blow up either LeBron screaming at him for not being where he's supposed to be. J.J. Redick's not going to put up with any nonsense.
No.
I've nicknamed him the turnstile here because of all the times he's just sitting in the middle of the key with his arms out, spinning around, wondering where the ball's going.
Doesn't do anything defensively.
He gets most of his rebounds just by being the tallest guy on quick threes that get thrown up. He grabs seemingly 6 or 7 of his 10 rebounds just because he's there. So I think there's a little false advertising in the rebounding totals.
I hear you there.
they are looking at it. The Lakers are looking at it, obviously, from the standpoint of Luka's got somebody who can set him screens. You can keep LeBron on the weak side off ball to occupy defenses, because if everybody rolls to Luka,
yeah,
now he can just grab and go straight downhill, either a little pull up or get to the rim, and then throw lobs to DeAndre Ayton. And then we'll see what happens, you know, with Austin Reeves and what else they may be looking at doing.
I mean, Ayton's a pick and roll guy, right? Like, that's it, he was supposed
if
to.
He can't be successful in this environment. Yeah. He done.
Well, he's got a very short leash, and I'm sure his management has explained that to him. This was a huge risk. Not really because of the money, because I've said it in my updates, he's literally losing $1 million on his $35 million total that he would have made. Now with his $9 million salary plus the 25 from Portland, he's making 34. So there's not much of a leash here. And I don't think that, I mean, preseason, if he's slamming chairs like he was in Portland, he's essentially, according to that report from Jason Quick to The Athletic, minus all the crimes, he was like the current day J.R. Ryder. J.R. Ryder back in the day didn't show up to practices on time. He was late to team flights.
He was
bitching in the locker room.
That's more infuriating to NBA coaches and staff than the off court, whatever nonsense you might
And the Blazers kept it under wraps, because you go back in like 97, 98, we saw and heard every instance of J.R. Ryder's like, tardiness or whatever. Well, why isn't he playing in the first quarter? Why isn't Rod Strickland playing in the first quarter? Well, PJ Carlissimo had to freaking sit him out because they didn't show up to practice. Yeah. Like, it's kind of, I'm not surprised, like, but we're now on the third team for a guy. It just kind of gets annoying when you hear, well, it didn't work out in Phoenix. Maybe it'll work out in Portland. Well, it didn't work out in Portland. Maybe it'll work out in L.A. And frankly, it's shocking to me that a professional organization is still willing to take a chance on a guy for millions of dollars. But here we are.
Well, it's little risk. So Bobby Marks of ESPN, a friend of the show, chimed in on what it means for the Lakers signing Ayton.
Yeah, I mean, considering where they were about 10 hours ago, it's certainly an improvement here. I mean, we had Jared Vanderbilt as their starting center. And no offense to Jared Vanderbilt, but he's better served coming off the bench. Ayton was the best available center that was left in the free agent market, certainly coming off that buyout here. I think 82% of his shots are field goal percentage at the rim last year. I think the one concern for me is not really a paint presence as far as blocking shots, less than one last year in Portland here, but certainly fills a need, something that Lakers needed. There's still some work to do, especially for that bench. They need some perimeter shooting, but it's a good start for an offseason that started off a little bit slow here.
So there's Bobby Marks, and when Jared Vanderbilt was going to be your starting center, Ayton's certainly an upgrade. We'll see if it works. The other big news from the NBA was Mike Brown stumbled into the head coaching job for the New York Knicks.
Stumbled is right. He was like choice H.
Well, it was more about the Knicks firing Tibbs without a plan, or at least they thought. James Dolan thought he could somehow get Jason Kidd out of Dallas.
Could you imagine if I broke up with my wife and then I came to you and said, hey, I want to take your wife on a date. You say no. Okay, I'm going to go to Rob. Hey, Rob, can I take Nurse Nice on a date? That is literally what the New York Knicks did. They said, you know what? I'm breaking up. I'm ending my marriage before anything even is solid on the outside, and I'm going to go ask about other people's wives. What the hell were you thinking, Lee?
They weren't, and James Dolan hasn't been thinking much since he took over that operation. But nonetheless, the Knicks and the Cavs are still the betting favorites to win the Eastern Conference and get to the NBA Finals. For Mike Brown, who, now, to Mike Brown's credit, he's been with the Cavs with LeBron. He's been with the Lakers with Kobe. He got the Kings to end the longest NBA playoff drought in recent memory.
Light the beam, baby.
And so he certainly has. I think the Knicks got lucky, quite frankly, that they stumbled into somebody with as much credential as Mike Brown has, as well as he will not be overwhelmed by the media and the attention and the chatter and all the nonsense that goes along with being the Knicks head coach. So it will be interesting to see, basketball-wise, if they can sort something out and be more Democratic offensively and have more options, so it's not all on Brunson at the end of a game, and still kind of have that defensive presence that Tibbs was able to give them. It will be interesting to see there. Checking the text line real quick, and you can text in 503-864-6326 on the Fan text line. Is Anton, is DeAndre Ayton worse than Nurkic? Yes.
Oh, by far.
By far.
Yes. Nurkic actually.
Nurk was frustrating as hell because he was that close to being an everyday contributor.
But he actually put in effort compared to DeAndre
He put
Ayton.
In effort. His problem was more in his fundamentals and mechanics that just drove me up the stinking wall. With that, and
plus he fit right in to the locker room. As
I'm well
to
done. Yeah, no, I think Nurk. No, Nurk was not a prima donna. Nurk wasn't on his own planet. He very much wanted to be loved and part of the team and all of those things. That was an X's and O's basket. There wasn't an effort issue. Maybe too much effort at times. So no, Ayton way more disappointing.
He would bitch on the court, and I think that's like where you would see him. Like I literally,
he was emotional.
And then
it affected his ability to perform.
But literally a drop in effort after a call didn't go his way. That happened quite frequently. I understand maybe why people want to ask, but no, the effort was there. The off-the-court problems weren't nearly what they are with DeAndre Ayton. So, no way.
So, there you go. It'll be very, very interesting to see what happens with the Knicks now moving forward, if they can still make a deal or do something in free agency to possibly add a piece to that team. Blazers Summer League schedule is released. We are waiting for the Summer League roster. Most of it doesn't matter. We know Caleb Love on his two-way deal will be there. We know first-round pick Wong Han Sen will be there. That's where all eyes will be. The novelty of the 19-year-old 7'1" Chinese center is going to get me to watch some Summer League that I haven't given a crap about in the last 3 or 4 years. So we'll take a temperature there. Also, one NBA pundit thinking Damian Lillard getting waived by the Bucks is the best thing that happens to his career. We'll hear from that. A little bit more NBA. Some Pac-12 discussion coming up in the bottom half of the hour here. Swag holding down the fort on this July the 3rd, starting your holiday weekend at Sturt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. I would imagine that there will be a certain level of acknowledgement.
But like what? Other than just like, hey, we're doing fireworks shows everywhere. Like literally nothing can be done other than like,
I don't know. Will the U.S. Mint do? I could see the First Hairdo doing some special commemorative coin or something.
It's the best coin ever. It's
going
to be huge.
I literally. I put nothing past him in that regard.
Have my signature.
You buying his fragrance?
No.
Okay.
I've used Dolce & Gabbana the One for years. And to quote one Isaac Everett Ropp, I am the best smelling personality on 1080 The Fan. So
I rarely go to the cologne.
Really?
Just on special occasions.
I'm cologne every day, baby. I literally came in at 5 a.m. this morning, and I had cologne on because I'm a freak.
No, I used to Abercrombie & Fitch.
The Abercrombie & Fitch cologne, like that,
yeah.
That S that you would like walk by and get the waft of
actually
standing next to that shirtless dude.
Something works with me, apparently. So
you just wanted to be the shirtless dude. So did I, but well, I didn't buy the damn cologne.
But I think for me though, I don't put it on my face. It's like right at the top of the chest. Because I'm one that listen, if you're gonna be close enough to enjoy it, then you know, those are the only people you really need to have it for.
No, you don't overdo it, but yeah, a little dab like under the neck, top of the chest area, on the wrists.
Yeah, not wrists, not behind the ears. No, just a little bit.
Who the hell's behind my ears?
I don't know.
Like it's, what is this, college? Like,
I don't know.
You got a wife.
Whatever floats your boat.
She hasn't been behind my ears. We do some freaky stuff, but nothing behind the ears has been done at my place in a long time there, Swag.
Oh, well, Blazer fans are hoping to see some freaky stuff from their first round draft pick at Summer League. Wong Han Sen, 7'1", 249 pounds, I think is what they officially list him at. Officially signed his rookie contract with the Trailblazers. I am waiting for the press release for the Summer League team. They usually have a practice or two before they head down to Las Vegas. But the Summer League schedule was released. Their opener Friday, July 11th against the Warriors down in Vegas.
Yeah.
ESPN2 has that one. Right back again Saturday night, 7:30 against the Grizzlies. That will be interesting, especially if Cedric Howard plays, because that was the trade. So Blazer fans, then they get the Pelicans and then the Rockets. And so with the Rockets, with the number two pick there, and now it's escaping me.
Oh
yeah. Not Ace Bailey, but, why don't I have it? The other Rutgers kid. Anyway, so you get to see that Thursday, July 17th. That'll be the first round games. Harper, Dylan Harper.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ron Harper's kid. I want to say Hanson. I was stuck up on Hanson. No, it's not Hanson.
There's multiple Hansons in the
draft. Yeah, so the question will be is, assuming Wong doesn't hurt himself, which unfortunately has been an issue with Blazer first round picks down at Summer League the last few years, want to see him, one, be able to be out there competing. Caleb Love signed the two-way deal, so he'll be on that roster. I was debating, I was looking at, okay, what's left on the Blazer roster right now. They extended their, they took the option or tendered or whatever they're doing with Ryan Rupert. He'll be on the roster next year. Him and McGowan's are the only ones, but they've been in the league for 3 years. Once you've been in the league for 3 years, if you have a roster spot, you're usually not playing in summer league.
But doesn't Ryan Rupert need the development? Like, he doesn't look good on the court.
Is that really going to develop him anymore rather than going against, you know, regular NBA guys that are going to play? He needs to be going up against guys that he's going to be competing with spots with. He's not competing with the rest of those guys for spots.
I think he needs all the reps he can get.
Okay.
Build some confidence. Like, he's at the point where I haven't seen it confidently enough other than maybe one or two spurts here and there. And you're right, he's been here long enough. So, I don't know. At this point, you just need to get him reps and hope that the shooting touch improves and hope that he just looks more competent than he did last year.
That'll be the big question. There, but what do you want to see? What do you expect to see from Wong? What are you hoping to see from Wong Hansen? And how quickly, we were joking about this the other day, was if he has a couple of highlight reel SportsCenter top 10 sorts of things, either ridiculous block shots or ridiculous, you know, dunks, like where he starts at the top of the key, maybe a reverse spin and yams over somebody. You know, I don't know what big guys he's going to be seeing down there, but has some filthy sorts of moves. How quickly Young will be beloved and be the next, you know, Bill Walton, the Chinese Bill Walton now of Blazer fans.
I mean, it's not just Blazers fans. Remember when Victor Wembanyama played his first summer league game last year and it was bad. It was ass. And everybody was like, oh, wasted pick. Everybody had a hot take on it. It's like, he's done. He's washed. No, he was fine. I don't think that we're going to see perfect ball from one Young Hansen, but if you see competency, some of those pieces of the highlights, like getting to the middle against bigger guys, I think that's the encouraging part. I think really the size difference, you know, from the NBA or even NBA prospects to what he was playing against in China, that's going to be the biggest leap for him. So we'll see if he can handle that.
I'm curious to see. I know Donovan Klingon has been working on his three-point shot. His stats from last season, or maybe it was his career, I read he's played a couple of years in the Chinese Basketball Association.
Well, they're not good.
33% from three. He's only 19. And I don't, I mean, they only play 40 or 50 games a season. So I'm curious when he comes over. Anybody that's ever been to NBA practices, they shoot. Like, it's not like college where you've got to work on defensive sets and do scouting and all that. Half the practice is shooting.
Yeah.
So he is going to get reps and reps and reps. I'll be curious to see where his jump shot is at. Does his form look okay? And with all of the repetition he's going to get, can that 33% become 37, 38% where he's an actual threat on a pick and pop? I want to see him work from both posts, both high posts, top of the key. I want to see him moving around. What does he look like in the pick and roll? Hopefully with Caleb Love, Caleb will throw him the damn ball. That's a big concern because that guy loves to shoot more than anybody coming out of college right now. But yeah, I'm all in. I can't wait. The mystery and legend surrounding him coming from a place like China is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And I hope there's a couple of nuggets that you'd go, he can do that. And it's all raw. And you hope then with some schooling, the competition every day and practice with Klingon, because we know he's a red ass. So they'll be competitive, and hopefully the coaches can keep them from injuring one another. But I think that will be great for the development now that Ayton's gone. And I think this will be a summer league. I don't know, 5-6 years that I'm most curious about.
I agree.
Because for the Blazers to take another step, this better work.
No, that this is
otherwise
Joe Berman's job.
They're stuck in the same. You know, this is it. When the new ownership comes in, if this doesn't work, they're cleaning house.
No, they took
like I will bet the house on that.
Oh yeah, no, this.
But if this works,
yeah, get ready. I mean, I hope it does. But this is a reach, and it's not just a reach that like Portland made. They made it on their own, aside from any other team in the NBA.
Exactly.
It didn't seem like
they've been scouting him for 2 years.
And it didn't sound like anybody, you know, other than maybe the Nets was going to jump up to the late first round, and yet
it was your only pick. It was your only pick in the draft.
And you hear Joe Cronin saying, we weren't comfortable past 16, yet I have not heard since the draft swag any whispers from any other team saying, you know what, we were in on Young Hansen too. Literally, what I just said, the only other thing that I've heard is that the Nets maybe were going to take him at 27. And I don't know if it's embarrassment or not wanting to like jump in on this train of somebody that doesn't look like they're NBA ready yet. You know, you're kind of throwing yourself under the bus if you put yourself out there publicly. But it's shocking to me that there's silence from most NBA organizations about a Young Hansen. I understand you don't really talk about other teams' draft picks.
Yeah.
But tea leaves get read. Different statements get released through reporters and anonymous sources. So I'm just shocked that nobody's throwing a comment about Young Hansen out there saying like, you know what? I'm kind of mad the Blazers got him. We were in on him too. We haven't heard whispers of that, and that worries me.
So Friday, July 11th, 8 o'clock, look for in the next couple of days the Summer League roster to be released. They still have to fill one roster spot. From what I read, Casey Holdall there with the Blazers explaining, okay, here's what's going to happen. Jabari Walker is going to hit free agency. When it's all said and done, when everybody can start signing and all the trades can be completed, the Blazers will have 13 guys under contract, which means they have to have at least 14. You can have 15, not counting the two-way guys. So they got to go find one more person. We'll see if, you know, what they bring in on the Summer League roster, if maybe there's, a journeyman somewhere that might be able to fill that out. They don't really have a ton of money. They do have the mid-level exception. I don't know what's out there, quite frankly, to spend it on.
Oh, just save that spot for Damian Lillard. Bring him home. Veterans minimum.
We'll get to that later.
I'm kidding. But that is an option. They've got the spot open on the roster. Just throwing that out.
Okay.
You said, what are they going to do with it? That is a direction to go.
I don't think that'll be this year. We'll have something on Damian Lillard. We'll get to that a little bit later. But coming up next, for the ticker, Teresa Gold, commissioner of the Pac-12, now that she has a legitimate conference moving forward, she can start planning for the 26-27 first inaugural season. Texas State is in. She spoke on the record, kind of where they are now and what the plan is moving forward, how much pressure is going to be on these schools to perform, to see if they can sneak a team in the college football playoff. How many teams can they get into the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments and start getting units and revenue coming in? This is about money moving forward. How fast can they do it? We'll discuss that next. But first, Schultzy with an update.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this,
Let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on the Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry, hop-infused hard seltzers.
It is Daily Ticker time, brought to you by Pelican Brewing, who cracks open today's Daily Ticker with Pelicano. Discover a Pelican Summer Seasonal Cerveza. Drink in refreshment. Plenty of refreshment. Pelicanos, I think, will be maybe the perfect sidekick to whatever you're putting on the grill here this weekend.
Absolutely. I had some at the Fan Golf Classic. That was my
beautiful
sip of Pelicano. So I was yes, please. One Will Ortner recommended it to
there
me.
There you go.
Went and got one. I'm
see,
like,
you need,
hell yeah.
You need clean. You need refreshing. You need not so heavy.
No.
Because you're going to be grazing all day and night, too. So
you want that perfect buzz, but
because
not like
let's
heavy.
Face it, tomorrow with it being the holiday on a Friday, if you don't have to, you know, travel or be somewhere, when are you cracking the first one? Is
probably,
it before noon?
Yes, absolutely. Usually a Miller High Life will be opened by like 11 a.m.
Exactly.
If it's a July
something
4th
light
weekend
while you're prepping whatever you got going, whenever you got to throw that thing, you know, on the fan text line. And we are going to do Sprague in the Line because it's the last day of the week.
Hell yeah.
So send in those fake sponsors on the fan text line, 503-864-6326. I'm imagining there's going to be a fair few shots taken at me this week about swimming in the ocean. If you caught yesterday's show.
I did. I'll let the listeners pile on for that one.
Yeah.
I am excited, though.
I'm more
July
convinced 4th. I can do this than squatting 300 pounds, though.
Yeah. That's hard. You think, oh, I could squat 300, but then you look at the weight on the bar and you're like, F that.
That was foolish.
I am excited. If you do July 4th right, you're in bed by 11 because you're already hammered. So, like, you're like, you know what? I'm so tired. It's already been a full enough day.
And the great thing is you got Saturday and Sunday.
Exactly. I am drunk. I'm going to bed listening to fireworks as I fall asleep.
Oh, well, it is Daily Ticker time. July 1st, Texas State officially became the 8th football-playing member of the Pac-12. For the 2026-27 season, and now Commissioner Teresa Gold with Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State, Utah State, and basketball playing Gonzaga, joining Oregon State and Washington State. They have 9 schools. They can move forward and actually start making plans of how this thing's going to work. They announced the CBS Sports Partnership a week or so ago, week and a half ago. They have that in place. We know there's going to be other partners, ESPN Plus, ESPN to some extent is expected to be involved. CW will continue to be involved. We think there will be a streaming partner. Not sure if that is Paramount or ESPN Plus, or there is another, somebody else out there, Amazon Prime, in that regard,
you
that may jump
ESPN,
in.
ESPN Plus.
So ESPN Plus is a lot easier, a lot more easily accessible for people at this point. But after all that went down, Teresa Gold with SiriusXM College Sports, explain now where the conference is and what its focus is moving forward, knowing they've got the membership figured out to start.
When I took this job, it was, you know, March of 2024. And our focus at that time was very much, you know, kind of transitioning our 10 departing institutions and transitioning a number of my colleagues, finishing out all of our championships. But shortly after we turned the page and, you know, I had Oregon State and Washington State remaining and their amazing coaches and amazing student athletes. The thing that was front of mind for me is how do I create the best pathway for them and their future in college athletics? And what became blatantly obvious really quickly, right, in a matter of, you know, weeks or months, was that the Pac-12 brand, the Pac-12 legacy, the history of this league really meant something in the marketplace. And, you know, whether it was to the fans, to coaches and student athletes, to potential commercial partners, it was clear that the path forward was going to be to continue with the Pac-12. And we were fortunate in that a number of, you know, nationally relevant, nationally competitive institutions and brands and programs were interested in being part of what we were building. We obviously made the announcement in September with the five Mountain West programs, followed by Gonzaga, and then most recently, a couple days ago, with Texas State. So I think we have a great group of institutions that are aligned on a number of things. We're going to continue to compete at the highest level, be a top five conference. We're going to have nationally relevant brands. We're going to do things differently and be forward thinking in this kind of changing landscape that we're in. And we're going to serve the modern day student athlete in a way that is new and different.
There's Teresa Gold, commissioner of the Pac-12. Now, the last little bit about that was political rhetoric about serving. I'll be curious what that is and means. And if there's anything tangible, significant that comes out of it to have student athletes thinking about the Pac-12, you know, I think it'll go in conference sort of NIL things, ways that they can set it up to compensate for the fact that they simply don't have the deep pocket donors that the Big Ten and the SEC and the Big 12 will have. So that'll all play out. But the most important thing is they get to start planning now. There's no wait till the 11th hour. Does Memphis, does Tulane, do we have to dip down into the Big Sky? Do we have to yank Idaho? Do we have to yank Sacramento State? Texas State is a big, enrollment's around 40,000. They are putting money into facilities and programs. Look, once you get over the fact that this is now your lot in life, and I know that there are Cougar and Beaver fans that still haven't gotten there, you have what is potentially a very good basketball conference. Football, there's potential.
Yeah.
But I also think there is a ton of pressure right out of the chute. First season, they need to come out gangbusters. They need to put multiple teams into the NCAA men's and women's tournament. The NCAA women's tournament now is going to start having revenue units for teams as they advance the way that the men do. So that is they need to generate revenue.
Yeah.
It's nice that the TV deals are short term, because if they can capitalize on just having a conference being a presence, if that, we're going to find out real quick if that Pac-12 brand actually means something, if they can dwarf what the Mountain West is going to do. Can they maybe TNT looking for things in the fall without the NBA? Would they be interested in some more basketball? Would they be interested in some more regular football? I think they've got some options available to them. And as long as they're not myopic in terms of what they think that value is initially, but the pressure on them to football-wise, see if they can sneak a team into the back end, get that group of five or six or whatever it's being called now, automatic berth, try to be one of the last at-large teams in, whoever it might be. And this is where, fans, if you want your team, whether it's the Cougs or the Beavs or Boise State, I know people are listening there, to be successful and feel like you can move forward and see a pathway back to the standing and the prominence that you once held when the Pac-12 was the Pac-12, you got to root for the conference overall.
Yeah.
And so if you come at it with some sort of negative attitude of it just being small time, then you're never going to be satisfied.
No.
Basketball-wise, I think, you know, based on the pedigree of some of these programs, there's three or it's not out of the realm of possibilities to have three or four teams in the men's tournament, and that would be huge, especially if they expanded. If they expanded, you get five in, depending. Gonzaga's going to be in. San Diego State should be in.
Yeah.
Washington State has the potential to do that. If Tinkle can keep Oregon State moving, Boise State, Coach Rice is down there, consistently has teams right on the bubble. So, but I think the pressure needs to be on now. This season is this season for whatever, but I think the plans for both football and men's basketball need to be, we are planning for 26-27 this season.
I like that we have a competent head of the conference now. Like, Teresa Gould just sounds smarter, frankly, than George Kliavkov ever did and Larry Scott ever did. You hear what she says and you actually believe it, and you feel like that there's a plan behind it, as opposed to just, well, I'm just here making a big salary and I'm trying to have fun doing it, essentially. Like, there's thankfully a measure of success that we've seen in the last year with this conference staying alive. I just don't know. Like, I don't want to go negative Nancy on it. Like, yes, it's not what it was, but there really is something to put your hat on here. And congrats to Teresa Gould for leading the way and doing that. Now, going forward, will these schools be able to sneak in this year and gain some prominence? I don't think, like, to a college football playoff or to the NCAA tournament. I don't think that's as important swag as, and I said while you were kind of opening this segment, as getting a streaming partner that is as accessible to everybody as possible. You don't want to be on a Paramount Plus. I love Paramount Plus, but, like, you got to pay a bunch extra for that. And yeah, that's not necessarily something that sports fans are going to.
Nope.
You need it.
You got to be able to trip over it.
If I'm Teresa Gould, I'm taking less money for the conference so I can be on ESPN Plus. I watch more Division II crap football because it's on ESPN Plus on a Saturday night than I do a game that's on the CW or on ION or whatever the hell streaming platform you want to put it on. Access is key here. If we want, I mean, obviously the conference success, that depends on how well the teams play, but you want to build some freaking support, and the way to do that is access.
So I think you're going to see them be innovative in terms, you're going to see a lot of, Pac-12 After Dark coming back.
Yeah,
that's their slot. That's where the biggest revenue is going to be for them. They're going to have to, they still need to generate revenue. That's going to be key early on. We'll carry this over. Love to see your thoughts on the fan text line or YouTube chats or wherever you are finding us at 503-864-6326. And we'll have more on the Pac-12. They are actually a conference moving forward. What's the next step? How much success do they need to have early to generate the ability to get back to some level of prominence? That, as we continue on, it's Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Who's stinking it up?
Woo! Do not go in there.
It's time for Who's Stinking It Up, a sports lowlight that's ripped from the headlines.
We couldn't do diddly poo.
Brought to you by Three Mountains Home Services. Schedule your appointment online at threemountainshomeservices.com.
That one off the leg of Bird. No chance to make a play anywhere. That'll score another run. A base hit for Cam Smith, who's going to run all the way down to Boulder down the right field line. It's 5-2 Astros.
Cam Smith there with the Space City Home Network Astros television as the Rockies continue to be mired in one of the worst seasons, arguably the worst season in modern major league history, yet to win 20 games as we approach the All-Star break. They got to move him out of Denver. You just can't have a major league team playing at altitude. It'll never work. You'll never get pitching. The only way to do it was the Blake Street Bombers, and I don't think that'll work anymore.
It'll work, but you've got to literally get pitching, and then
you can't get pitching.
You can
no get free agent pitcher is going
to
go there.
You can get pitching for the road, but you need to load up on hitters, so you do it at
Rockies are stinking it up. They've been stinking it up all year long, stinking it up there. When was the last time you had your drain cleared? Well, here's the deal. You need to take advantage right now. Three Mountains is offering a drain clear for just $59. Book your appointment online at threemountainshomeservices.com. That's threemountainshomeservices.com. They make home services delightful. Swag and Schultzy here on a Thursday before the big holiday weekend, getting your festivities started off. Dirt and Sprague out. They'll be on vacation next week, but I'll be back. We'll have a slew of guest hosts rolling in. Schultzy's sitting in Monday. Summer of Swag still continues Monday. I will enjoy a day.
I'm in Monday as host? Okay, cool.
I don't know, either producing, I don't know how it's working out. Dusty got it all figured out.
I didn't hear.
It's so. Like a team approach, I think, on Monday.
Gotcha.
We're taking your fake sponsors. We will Sprague the line at 8:30. It is a Thursday, but Fan is off all weekend. Plenty of baseball for you all weekend, so you can feel that Americana, as it were. throughout the weekend. But we were discussing the Pac-12, the new Pac-12, the revitalized Pac-12, now that it's an actual conference moving forward. But the pressure that's going to be on to perform, get some wins, get into the NCAA basketball tournaments to get some big non-conference wins right out of the chute. Now, they will have 8 football playing members to start. They could still add another one. They desperately want to push this thing to probably 12. They would like to get it back to Pac-12. I think that's a good number for them. You always hold out in the back of your mind that Stanford and Cal get fed up with the ACC and the travel, and they're still not making, I don't know when they start getting revenue from the grant of rights, how long they agreed to go in for free. I don't know when that's going to happen. Stanford has enough of their own money. They can just say, F this. We're tired of this.
30% for the first 7 years, followed by a 70 and 75% after that. So
okay.
It's going to take nearly 10 years for a full share to be given to Cal.
And at some point and if they don't have any success in there in the big sports, in basketball, in football, if they're just constantly getting their brains beat in,
yeah.
Why are we going, spending all of this extra time and effort and resources to be a part of this? Are they continually going to get the 7, 7:30, 8 p.m., kickoff times, for their home games? Fans will get tired of that. I just, in the back of my mind, I wonder how much longer before they just say, nah, screw it. You can have our grant of rights. We're out of here. Let's go dial up there. But I did notice if you looked at future football schedules, Boise State in 2026 is at Oregon to start the season.
Oh, man.
How big would it be for Boise State to go in there to your Oregon Ducks right here on this very station? And if the conference wants to establish itself with some authority, announce itself a little Nuke-Lelouch style, if they pulled off that upset right there and let everybody know that the Pac-12 is serious. They need an attention grabber just like that. I also think football-wise, and if I'm Teresa Gould, I'm reaching out to Greg Sankey and saying, hey, your traditional second to last week of the season when you have those Sunbelt cupcakes that nobody watches, how about we do a little deal? Because we need 5 non-conference games right now if we're only going to have 8 teams in the football conference. 1 year only, and they all go out there. We'll take a paycheck, all of those sorts of things. If we need to put some games on our media partners, we'll broker a deal there. How much fun would it be, especially for those, if you want to lure, if you don't have the NIL money, you're trying to get some recruits to either stay home or come in and say, you know what, we're going to go. You're going to have a chance to play an SEC team on the road in their territory at the end of a season. I'm making that phone call.
Hell yeah.
Why wouldn't you? But I think you're going to have some inventive things like that in the first couple of years. It might seem like stunts. It might be shenanigans. But if you can pull off a couple of victories, same thing with the SEC with basketball. You have a good basketball conference. Maybe it's the Big East that's a non-foot, they don't, similar situation. I would look to try to set up a couple of strategic relationships scheduling-wise with that. One, you're going to get eyeballs on it. That will help. Maybe you pull off some upsets. Maybe you get some paychecks along the way. If she is truly inventive in that regard, then I think you have an opportunity for this thing to get some sea legs real quick and possibly lure that 10th, 11th, 12th teams in to give yourself a little bit more girth and power as a conference.
You got to lean into the basketball side of things. I've been saying this for years. Oregon State has, they just haven't been a relevant program like you want them to be. Even under Jonathan Smith, it was a nice ride up the mountain, but the national prominence is going to come for Oregon State from basketball now. Same with Washington State. And I hate to say it, I'm not trying to knock your guys' programs, but that's just what it is. Make sure if you're the athletic directors, you're going to Teresa Gould saying, hey, here's my plan. Obviously, we're trying to support the football program in any way, shape, or possible, but there's got to be a big push from your guys' end to promote these programs. And we've got to make sure that anything is being done possible, if I'm the Pac-12 conference, that NIL money is piped into really specifically going towards these basketball programs. You need to see Gonzaga making the tournament again as like a top
they
three
will.
Seed. Exactly. But then that, along with Oregon State and Washington State, making the tournament as like a
Boise
top
State,
10 or 12
San Diego
seed.
State, Colorado State all have recent pedigrees of getting into tournaments. Yeah, basketball can be something, and that's revenue-wise. But I think they need to have a little fake bravado.
Agreed.
When they start. You know, fake it till you make it.
Damn right.
And go from there. So we'll see how it starts to play out here now that Teresa Gould can start actually planning for 26 and 27. 2 hours down, hour three coming up. Again, we will spread the line at 8:30, so let's get those fake sponsors. But your boy, the big dumper, Cal Raleigh, an AL All-Star starter. The starters were announced for the Midsummer Classic coming up in a week and a half. We will start hour number three there. It's Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan.